You are now tuned into the truth. You are now tuned into the truth. You are now tuned into the truth.
Hi, guys. It's your girl, Ash. Welcome back to another episode of Truth Is. And today I wanted to talk about something specifically important to women. It's not to say that men wouldn't benefit from the conversation, but I definitely am doing this particular podcast for women. This month is September, and this month is PCOS Awareness Month. And for those who do not know what PCOS is, PCOS stands for Polycystic Ovarian Syndrome. And PCOS is an endocrine disorder, and it affects roughly 7 million women. And according to the PCOS Awareness site, PCOS Awareness Association site, 7 million women are affected by this endocrine disorder, right? That's more than the number of people diagnosed with breast cancer, rheumatoid arthritis, multiple sclerosis, and lupus combined. It's a serious condition that a lot of women, obviously, based on the facts I just mentioned, do deal with. I am one of those women. I found out that I have PCOS, I want to say, roughly 3 years ago. It's serious because part of it is that the cause is unknown. They don't really know where it came from. A lot of experts believe that genetics plays a role in it. I don't actually have any women, to my knowledge, in my family that have PCOS. Like my mother, my aunts on both sides don't have it. None of the female cousins in my family have it. I'm actually the only person that I know that does have it in terms of family. I do know I have friends who have sisters who have it, or I have coworkers who have it. And the main issue or the main problem, underlying problem with polycystic ovarian syndrome is that it's a hormonal imbalance. So basically what that means is, and I just want to say that I do not profess to be a health expert. A lot of the information that I have, that I know is because I've gone to doctors, specifically my gynecologist and fertility doctors, as well as just reading a lot of information online and using the PCOSAA.org site as like my main resource. And that is the PCOS Awareness Association website. Very solid resource for information and for also providing additional resources for women who are interested in learning more about this condition. But like I mentioned, it is a hormonal, I don't know why that's so hard for me to say. It is a hormonal, it deals with women who have it. It's because of there's an imbalance with their hormones. That's a lot easier. And what that means is that essentially women with PCOS, our ovaries are producing more androgens than the normal woman. We all have male and female hormones. Androgens are male hormones. And so the levels of those hormones tend to be very high, and it affects the release of eggs during ovulation. So it affects our fertility. For me specifically, and for a lot of women who have PCOS, we basically don't get our cycle consistently. It's like every 45 days. For me, sometimes it's like, you know, I'm lucky if I see my cycle 6 times a year. So it definitely depends on the woman. A lot of people think that it's a lot of researchers and medical professionals, they believe that it's somehow linked to insulin. And insulin basically controls the change of sugar and starches in your body. So like, you know, people who have diabetes, you know, you hear that a lot. And so what basically happens for women with PCOS is that we produce too much insulin and our body doesn't know what to do with it, hence the hormonal imbalance part. And so all this excess insulin causes the production of the male hormones, androgen. And that can lead to, you know, some women have serious acne, excessive hair growth, weight gain can be a problem, or problems with ovulation. I am happy to report from myself that the only thing that has really come up for me is problems with ovulation. I could always stand to be a little, you know, 20 pounds lighter than I am. But they do say often that if you can lose 20 pounds, that can definitely help with balancing out your hormones if you are someone who suffers with PCOS. I bring this topic up because one of the things that I've wanted is because it's PCOS Awareness Month. And so I wanted to, you know, do a podcast in honor of PCOS awareness, also to be able to be open and share my experiences with PCOS and educate women who don't know. And again, it's not just about women who have it or might have it, but it's also for women who may know someone who might have it, and for men who might know someone who might have it. This education is important because you can share that with people you care about. I'm going to share some of my experiences with PCOS. And what I realized when thinking about this podcast is that throughout the rough times with this particular condition or health issue or whatever you want to call it, I've had strong women and men in my corner. I think that, well, for me in my experience, we're not talking enough about issues or health issues related to our reproductive system. As women, I feel like we are socialized to keep those things quiet. We feel bad when we have our period and our period pains are, you know, unbearable, and we feel bad about calling out of school, or we feel bad about calling out sick for work, because I feel like there's a stigma that says, like, you're weak if you do, or it's just what comes with the territory. And that, you know, is wrapped up in misogyny, and that's a whole other story for a whole other, that's a whole other podcast for a whole other day. But I remember watching my mom go through it, I mean, hunched over, just in pain, and she didn't have PCOS. She just had a regular period. Or my best friend, who used to have to take medication, you know, when we were like 11, because she knew like how bad her pains could get to the point where it would make her throw up. And these are real things. I think about Padma Lakshmi. For those who don't know, she is on Top Chef, if you're familiar, who suffers with endometriosis, and she talks a lot about it. She's a huge endometriosis advocate. She recently came out with a book, I want to say earlier this year, called Love, Loss, and What We Ate. And I have not had the pleasure of reading the book yet, but I did listen to her on a podcast that I enjoy called Another Round. And she talks about endometriosis at great length and the work that she does around it and supporting women and women's rights around their reproductive system, things of that nature. So while endometriosis and PCOS are two different things, it's still very connected in that it deals with our reproductive system and it deals with our health as women exclusively. Like, these are not issues that men have, right? For me, I don't know how long I've had PCOS. I just know that I found out roughly 3 years ago. And that was because one day I was talking to a friend of mine, and she and I would talk about like how my period would come irregularly, and I was always concerned. I wasn't always concerned. I wasn't concerned since I got my period at 14, but I didn't care that it came irregularly, because I was like, I don't have to deal with the pains. I don't have to deal with the mess. I don't have to buy pads. Like, it's cool. I ain't trying to have a baby, so it's whatever. But then I met my husband. We were together for a while. Now we're married, and we do want to have a family. So the conversations change, or the attitude, you know, is changed. And you become more concerned about what is happening with your reproductive system and what you need to do about it or what you need to find out. So she had encouraged me to go and get an ultrasound to see, like, you know, if there was anything wrong or whatever with my ovaries. And I remember I had gone, and they didn't find anything. And I went back to my gynecologist, who I absolutely adore. And she had, you know, I think someone had said to me, you know, you might want to check and see if you have PCOS. And I just was like, what's that or whatever. So I mentioned it to her, but they didn't find anything in that particular ultrasound or whatnot. So now cut to maybe a year out, and I am in like some serious pain. I'm like in my bed, I wake up and I just feel this like sharp shooting pain. And it was like up and down my back, through my pelvis. Like, it just was the worst. And I tried to get up and go to the bathroom, and I thought, oh my gosh, my cycle must be on its way. And the thing about having irregular cycles is you really don't know when they're coming. So I'm like, oh, this is like, cause you just kind of like, as a woman, you just like know the difference between nausea from like something bad you ate versus nausea from like your cycle. You just kind of know. So I'm experiencing these severe pains. I feel like I can't do anything. And when I say that, like, I feel like I can't move. And I also suffer from anxiety. So when I'm in a situation where I don't have control, especially over my body, it provokes my anxiety. So now I'm like emotionally distraught as well as in physical pain. And I had to crawl to the bathroom because I couldn't stand up straight. The pain was so debilitating. And I thought, okay, if I could just get myself in the toilet seat. And I was just like, okay, what's going to happen is there's just going to be a gush of stuff coming down because it's like, it's my period, it's my period. And I went to the bathroom and nothing came. And I was like, I think my anxiety like went up a notch because I was thinking this is a solution. Even in pain, I'm going to have a solution and it's going to, you know. Long story short, I had called my aunt, going back to, you know, this theme of like women being supportive. And she came running and she came pick me up. And it's like basically like lump over. I was like hunched over trying to get to her car. And I go to my gynecologist. She does another ultrasound and she goes, yep, you have PCOS. And she shows me these little circles that are like, I think around my left ovary that are like, and they look like they're strung together in a line, like a string of pearls, if you will. And I start to get like, when I get with my anxiety, my breathing is out of control. So shortness of breath, whatever. So I start to get that because I'm like freaked. I'm like, what the hell? And she's just like, she quickly assures me that like, it's okay. It's actually very normal. There's nothing wrong. We have medication to monitor, like to help, you know, deal with it. Like, don't worry about it. It's fine. And it doesn't mean that you can't have children. You absolutely can still have children. Like, don't worry about it. But I'm still freaking out. So she basically explains that those little pearls on my ovaries, those were cysts, but they weren't like cancerous cysts or anything like that. And I remember her drawing like the circle on the screen around it to show me what they were. And part of it was like, I was really happy to be there because the clinic that I go to is very much women-centered and counselor-centered and supportive. And you just feel like you're surrounded by a community of strong women who are a part of the medical profession or whatnot. And just kind of calming me down and making sure that I was okay and that I could understand the education that they began to provide me now that we all knew that I had this health issue. And what she told me was, she's like, you can take birth control if you want to help regulate your cycle, or you can take metformin, which is exclusively for diabetics, but because of the insulin, the overproduction of insulin, metformin, it can be very useful for women who have PCO because it ends up doing the same thing that it would do for a diabetic in terms of controlling the production of the insulin. And she said that should help your cycle come on. Because the thing is, I know that there are women out there who get really serious cramps. I know them personally. But for me, I didn't get cramps a lot. But what I was realizing is that when I would go several weeks without getting my cycle, the pain was so hard and it would be this debilitating pain. So while I wouldn't say that it was like a direct result of the PCO, because it's connected in the sense that because my cycle wasn't coming consistently, my body was reacting in this way. So I started taking the metformin and it worked. But then I stopped taking it because I just wanted my cycle to regulate itself. I just wanted my body to do what it was supposed to do on its own. And one time I went to go visit my girlfriends in DC and the pain came again and I was going through it as usual. And at this point, I'm starting to get used to like when it like feeling like these pre-cramp pains. I'm thinking to myself, is this like what women deal with when they go through contractions? Because it just felt so bad, or it just feels so bad when you get it. So my friend, they got me like Tylenol and a heating pad, and they were in the room and we were like going through different videos on YouTube and like Dr. Oz and like Googling PCOS and just trying to get even more information and stuff like that. And it became like a learning experience for us while my pain was working to subside. Because the thing about it is, give me some ibuprofen, 800 milligram, and a heating pad, and within an hour, the pain goes away, and I'm back to normal. But for that hour, it is tears. It is rough. Another time, I was at my old job. I was working at the time I was still at my old job, and I could not move. I was in the storage room. Thank God it's carpeted. And I just was like, it just shot me down. Like, it's like literally someone punches you in your stomach and you can't get up. Like, you're stuck. And I had to lay on the floor in my storage room of my job for at least an hour before I could go home. And what I loved is that I work with strong women. And so they didn't make me feel weak, or they didn't come by and like, oh my God, are you okay? And like, you know, start just being like extra emotional. They came in, they checked in, they, you're all right? Brought me some food, headed out, came back and, you know, got me, you know, the medication, whatever. I was like, obviously when you're ready to go, when you can feel like you can get up, go home. And it was just like, because they treated me like I was normal and not some like dying patient, it helped to normalize my situation. Not to mention two of the women at my job have PCOS, even though they don't experience this, the episodes that I was experiencing. One of my directors, she's huge on like understanding the reproductive system. She has all these books about fertility and things. And she's got three kids. It's not like she ever had an issue with having kids, but she just believes in understanding our body as women. And so that's just the mentality across the board with these women that I worked with. And I'm still close with many of them. So it just, I felt normal in spite of, which helped to ease my anxiety. Because part of it is like being able to control your emotions, especially for someone who does suffer from anxiety. And then the last time I experienced this really bad bout of pain was, again, back to it's my fault. I'd gone to the fertility doctor in early March to early April. Yes, early March to early April. They wanted to monitor my cycle. They needed to monitor me over the 4-week period to see if I ovulated because of the fact that I had PCO and that was a concern of mine. Happy to say that by the grace of God, I did ovulate. So that was a success because they want to know that like you can actually ovulate, right? Because it's like if you can't, then you are infertile. So just because you have PCOS doesn't mean that you can't have babies. It just means that it makes having children harder because you're not ovulating as consistently as other women. But in that, they had upped the dosage on my metformin so that it would be more effective. And I'm not a fan of pharmaceutical drugs, but I understand, like, you know, certain things help and you got to just do what you got to do. So I was taking it. My cycle was coming like clockwork every 6th of the month. And I decided that I was going to take a break from taking the medication. And I wanted to see, you know, what would happen. And so I did, and my cycle came in June. And I was like, oh, okay. It came a few days later, but I think it came like a week later, but I was like, but I could do this. I could do this. And then I didn't take it for the whole month of July. And I'm supposed to take two tablets every night. And I didn't take it for the whole month of July. And August came and I went to visit myself and one of my friends. We went to go visit our close friend in LA for her birthday. We went to go surprise her. So her birthday fell on a Monday. We reached, say, the Saturday. Sunday, I was all good. Sunday night, when we were heading back home to her place, I was feeling a little bit of like those pre-cramp pains, but it wasn't so crazy. And I just think maybe I even just ignored that it was there. I don't know. But let me tell you, when I got up to go to work, because I was working in the LA office at my current job, I could not move. I went to the bathroom and I felt it. And I remember being on the toilet and I felt it starting to hurt a lot. So like the pain began to pulsate even more in my lower abdomen. And I started to get really anxious because I was like, no, if this is what it is, if it doesn't go away, if this is what it is, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if I'm going to be able to go to work. And then it shot up and it was just bad. And I had to crawl back to the couch. And I was bawling because at this point I'm mad because I'm sick, not at home. I'm being corny because at this point I also wake up, I want my husband, which is like the few times that I act like that. But yeah, I mean, if I'm being candid, yes. And then I'm also like, I'm not gonna be able to go to work today. And this is like the first day of work and at the LA office, right? Like you're being hosted by the LA office and you're not even gonna be able to make it. So, I'm just like, shit. So now my friend who came with me, all she sees is me bugging because I'm like, huh, I'm crying my eyes out. And she just like, is mine just like 7 o'clock in the morning? So she like wakes up out of her sleep and she's like, oh my God, what happened? Do we need to call the ambulance? Do I need to call 911? So I was like, I say my friend's name who we're visiting. I'm like, just get her because I know that she knows what this is because I've had conversations with her about it. So not all my friends know that I have this condition and not all of them know how bad it can get. So she comes out of the room and she's a naturally calm person, but she was very calm. She also knows that I suffer from anxiety. So she was very calm. And the unfortunate thing is, like, even in retrospect, I felt so bad for my friend who came with me because I don't think she's ever seen me cry like this. I think, save for a funeral, you know, that we may have had to attend for a friend, I don't think she's ever seen me bawl out, like, and in pain, right? So my friend who lives in LA, she came. She got me ibuprofen or Tylenol, whatever it was, a painkiller. She made tea. And all of this is she's doing very calmly and you know, just with ease. And she begins to remind me to breathe, to do my breathing exercises for my anxiety. And she was clever enough to use her hair steamer and wrap it up in, like, cloth so that could basically be a makeshift heat pad. And I called my job and I explained to my manager what it was. And I just want to say something about that. So the manager that I currently have is not the manager I started out with when I started the job I'm at. So when I started my job, I told my then manager that I had this condition and that if I ever had an episode, I would have to probably leave work and I may have to go somewhere and lay down because this thing happened to me at my old job. And I just had to let her know so that no one was going to be surprised if and when it happened. And then, like, a whole year went by and it didn't happen. And I was like, all right, we're good. So my current manager, who was my new manager, she didn't know anything about this. And she'd just come on recently as my name. I don't even think she was my manager for 2 months at this point. So I called her, told her what happened. And she was just like, it is okay. You don't have to explain. Like, she was even saying, like, she understands because she has friends who have endometriosis. So going back to that conversation about endometriosis, while it's not the same condition, it has similarities in that it's our reproductive system and it causes issues with fertility and it causes serious pain in women. The bleeding, the pain, it is intense for a lot of women who suffer with endometriosis. And it's also something that goes undiagnosed a lot. I'm blessed enough to go to a clinic that is just kind of ahead of the curve when it comes to science and understanding things. And so when I suggested to my gynecologist that I wanted her to look for PCOS, she didn't give me a weird face. Like, what is that? She totally already knew what it was, right? So just completely and utterly supportive. So I let my job know I'm not coming in. And at that point, I'm, like, embarrassed as well as upset and just pissed because I'm in pain. And, you know, my friend who came with me, she was pissed because she felt like I was explaining myself too much on the phone to my manager. It's why she, in her mind, she's just like, she's going through this hell. She just needs to tell me she can't come to work, and that's it. And it's just kind of like, she was right, you know? And again, it goes back to that stigma. Why do we feel like we have to explain or over-explain ourselves? Like, why is my pain not enough? And that's not a critique on my manager. That's just an overall question to society. Like, we've just been so stigmatized, and we feel like we have to explain these things when we don't have to explain anything. If I'm in pain, I'm in pain, and that's it. There's nothing else to it, right? What I remember about all of those instances, and, you know, I have to say too, because I'm leaving him out, but my husband is always there. Like, if I wasn't out of town, he was home when this was happening too. Or he's coming home from work and he is getting the heating pad and he's telling me to relax and making sure that my anxiety is calm and, you know, checking in on me, but also not babying me and making me feel weak, because I'm a very strong person. And so I don't like to feel weak. Like, I can understand that I'm sick, but never looking frustrated that this thing is happening. If anything, he just looks upset that, like, I'm in pain, but not like it's my fault, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm a woman or whatever. So all of that to say that I've had these experiences. They haven't been fun. Also, don't try and play doctor or play God and just, like, I'm going to make my hormones balance out by just being me, because that's what I thought I was doing by not taking my medication. Yeah, no. So I take my medication again, and I'm back to being consistent with that. I learned my lesson. But it's just that, you know, support in anything that you're doing and anything you're going through is just necessary for people to be able to get through. But just specifically when it comes to this situation, and, you know, that there isn't enough conversation around how women can need to take care of ourselves, how we need to be cognizant of the products that we buy and if there's chemicals in them, down to our panty liners and our maxi pads and our feminine wash, things like that. It's our responsibility to take care of ourselves, but also to take care of one another. and share this information and be okay with having these conversations out loud and not in the privacy of our homes. I shared it with, you know, that I had PCO with specific friends and not others. And so now when a episode happens, one is like flipping out because she doesn't know what to do. And why didn't I share that with my friend? You know, granted, they did a wonderful job taking care of me and making me feel cared for and supported. But why am I not sharing that with everyone? Why are only select individuals learning about this, this condition that I have? So for me, it is about education and awareness. It's also just about remembering to take care of yourself. I will suggest again that if you think you have PCOS or you know somebody who might have PCOS or you just want to learn more, check out PCOSAA, that's Polycystic Ovarian Syndrome Awareness Association. So PCOSAA.org. If you're interested in reading Padma Lakshmi's book, where she talks a lot about her experience with endometriosis and being told that she couldn't have children and still being able to have her beautiful daughter, check out her book, Love, Loss, and What We Ate. And, you know, there's a ton of resources on YouTube. There's a ton you can put in Amazon or at your local library. Just put in PCOS. And what they'll show you is that if you're trying to figure out, like, they talk about weight loss, they encourage, and the whole sugar intake, they encourage women to have a low glycemic diet. So that's one way to improve, to work out at least 30 minutes a day for, you know, 5 days a week, because keeping active helps as well. And, you know, if you have to go on medication like me and you need to take metformin, Clomid is another form of medication that women with PCO do take. Some women take birth control on top of the metformin. So it really is about what works for you and having that conversation with your doctor. I encourage, if you have the health insurance or the funds to do it, or you can go to a clinic that's not going to cost you an arm and a leg, go to your gynecologist and or a fertility doctor and do the research on these places. I think we're not doing enough research on the places that are supposed to be providing us with health services either. I did research on the fertility place that I went to. One of my best friends had told me about the women's health and wellness clinic that we go to. And I've been going there ever since. I have not had any other gynecologist since. And so I'm grateful for that support. Definitely check those resources out, like I mentioned. Also, you know where to find me on Twitter at truthis25. Also, you know where to find the podcast. If you don't, I will tell you, it is at www.truthis.podomatic.com. I also host the podcast on my blog, www.theheartofconversation.co. That's .co. And thanks to my friend in LA, I am also on iTunes, so you can find me there as well for you non-Android users. Thanks again for your time. I encourage all of you, both women and men, to take care of yourself. And, you know, as always, remember that the truth will set you free, but not before it pisses you off, okay? Because it always does. Thanks again, and I'll see you guys next time.